Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today is our good friend, Russ East from Utah Partnerships for Christ. They are based in Ogden. And your website address is upfc.org. Want to check out what you're doing? And as we mentioned in our last show, Russ is involved in bringing a lot of high school or university students to Utah in a short-term mission basis just to kind of whet their appetite as to what ministry and this kind of culture is really all about. And what I like about what you do, Russ, is that a lot of these young people leave with a great heart for the state of Utah and the people that live in this state.
Right.
That is really encouraging to me because I think a lot of young people, when they actually come out here and really get their feet wet doing ministry among the LDS people, it just changes them in a number of ways.
Right. The Lord has blessed us to facilitate about 2,000 students since we started back in the year 2000. We've had a little over 200 groups, and it just seems like when a youth pastor says, hey, we're not going to be afraid of Utah, we're going to get these kids trained and equipped and help them understand what they believe and why they believe it and how to articulate it to others, it's just an awesome thing to see, is that kind of discipleship. It's a blessing to do that and to be a part of AM820. It's just a privilege to be able to be on the air with you today on Viewpoint on Mormonism.
You, like us, those of us here at MRM, you like to meet with Mormons one-on-one. And if a Mormon has a question that they want to ask you, you're more than willing to meet them for lunch or whatever.
Yeah, I would love to.
And we were talking about this off air because we've done that many times. When there's a Mormon who wants to challenge us and what we've said, we'll say, hey, let's meet for lunch. Let's talk about it. Maybe they have an idea about us that we're these wild-eyed crazies, you know?
Right. Well, no.
We try to talk to them and let them see. We're not like that. We really are not like that.
Right.
You said that you'd be willing, if someone wants to talk to you, to give you a call. Even so much so as to give your personal cell number. Do you want to go ahead and
give
that? If you want to talk with Russ personally and you live in the Salt Lake area, he'd be more than glad to meet with you. We would be more than glad to meet with you if you'd like to. But Russ, if they want to talk to you, what's your number?
They can call 801-645-7433. That's 801-645-7433. I was saved out of a fourth generation Mormon home. Been in Utah for 20 years and serving as station manager of this station and as well. So I'd love to meet with you and just sit and talk and show you that there's life after Mormonism. There's many reasons not to just chuck the idea of having a relationship with God. And you'll find it's not through Thomas S. Monson. It just isn't.
And speaking of Thomas S. Monson, we were talking yesterday on our show about how Russ had given me a call at the office asking if I had seen this book that's printed by Deseret Book, which is owned by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. It's a book titled A Prophet's Voice, Messages from Thomas S. Monson. And the reason Russ called me about it was because when he was looking at the copyright page, he noticed there was a disclaimer in there.
Right.
And in checking a lot of books put out by Deseret Book, we've realized that this is a pretty standard disclaimer that they have for just about all their authors. I guess I'd have to assume, especially if they're speaking on any type of doctrinal issue. But the question that we had is, why in the world would a church-owned publishing company have a disclaimer for the prophet, seer, and revelator of the church itself when Mormons have been led to believe that when their prophet speaks on a subject, it's something that they should believe? Let me give you an example of what we're talking about here. You have, for instance, James Faust. James Faust has passed away not too long ago, but in the May 1996 issue of Ensign Magazine, and this was a conference edition, it was a message that he gave in general conference, and as we spoke about yesterday, Dieter F. Uchtdorf, who was a member of the First Presidency, currently serving under Thomas S. Monson, said that when you go to general conference, he says, listen to general conference with an ear willing to hear the voice of God through his latter-day prophets. So we have to assume by that statement that I just read, which is taken out of the March 2012 Ensign Magazine, page 5, that when Mormons hear their leaders, the living prophet, speak in general conference, they can pretty much take it to the bank that that's God speaking through them. Now, a lot of this book that you called me up about are actual messages from general conference.
Right, right.
Why would there be a disclaimer?
Right, the disclaimer I'll read here in just a second. Section 1 of this book is the President's General Conference Messages. Section 2 is Other Classic Messages. So the disclaimer says, this work is not an official publication of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The views expressed herein are the responsibility of the author and do not necessarily represent the position of the church or of Deseret Book Company. And I was just floored when I saw that, because the context of my phone call to you, Bill, like I mentioned to you before, was I was doing a little study on the Mormon idea of the apostasy, and I found a book, a Deseret book called The Great Apostasy by James Talmage, opened it up, and there was a disclaimer right about this particular book. And then I took it, went home. A couple days later, I thought, well, I just wonder if a disclaimer like that could be in a book by Thomas S. Monson. And lo and behold, there it was.
There it was. Now, earlier I had mentioned James Faust. I don't want to forget James Faust. I don't want to leave old James Faust hanging there. But this is what James Faust said in his conference message titled The Prophetic Voice. This is May 1996, page 7 in the Ensign Magazine. Continuing revelation and leadership for the church comes through the president of the church, and he will never mislead the saints. If he will never mislead the saints, why would you have a disclaimer there? Now, Deseret Book, their attorneys could probably tell us, and you've tried to ask them. You've tried contacting Deseret Book.
Right, I put
Deseret
in a phone
Book,
call to one of their attorneys,
and,
right?
And they, and as of this recording, they have not gotten back yet, but it's probably a typical legal maneuver to protect their rear end, to put it nicely. Another example of plausible deniability for whatever reason, which I don't really understand, because if James Faust is telling the truth and that the president will never mislead the saints, what in the world is there to be scared of?
This particular book says in the preface, Section 2 contains dozens of additional messages that were selected to give a well-rounded, comprehensive view of Thomas S. Monson's five-decade ministry as a prophet, seer, and revelator. So you'd think that this would be an awfully fantastic book from the viewpoint of an LDS person. A lot of good information here that you could live by and follow.
Especially when we look at statements made by leaders of the past regarding the living prophet and other leaders in the church. Listen to this statement by Orson Pratt. This is January 29th, 1860. It's Orson Pratt's Confessional Discourse. It was also cited in Dialogue, a Journal of Mormon Thought, Volume 13, Number 2, page 57. Listen to what Orson Pratt says. He said this, "If the prophet of the living God, who is my standard, lays down a principle, whether it be a principle of doctrine, or a principle in philosophy, or a principle in science, or a principle pertaining to anything whatsoever, it is not for you nor me to argue against it and set up our standard and our views and our judgment in order to make a division in the church of the living God, even if the division goes no further than our own individual selves. We must bow," Orson Pratt said, "if we would bring about the oneness spoken of in the revelations of God. We must yield to these things, and it is my determination to do so." Quite a different attitude than what we're seeing now. There isn't that boldness anymore like we used to read about in the past. For instance, what did Joseph Smith say about his statements that he made, his revelations?
Sure. In Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 368, it says, "When did I ever teach anything wrong from this stand? When was I ever confounded? I want to triumph in Israel before I depart hence and am no more seen. I never told you I was perfect, but there is no error in the revelations which I have taught."
No error in the revelations that he has taught. Brigham Young had a similar attitude, didn't he?
Right. Journal of Discourses, Volume 16, page 161. If there is an elder here, or any member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who can bring up the first idea, the first sentence that I have delivered to the people as counsel that is wrong, I really wish they would do it. But they cannot do it, for the simple reason that I have never given counsel that is wrong. This is the reason.
Wow. Now we look at that is some incredible bravado. But the point is notice how sure they were of themselves back then, and now how there's always, as I call it, this plausible deniability now when it comes with teachings of modern Mormon prophets. We don't see disclaimers like that when it comes to the book of Galatians. We don't see a disclaimer like we just read in Deseret Book for the book of Ephesians. In fact, if we saw any such disclaimer like that, we would probably get very nervous about that. The reason we don't is because these men are supposed to be apostles of God. We should be able to trust them. The Mormon people think that of their leaders. Their leaders have said that about themselves. But when it really comes down to brass tacks, there's this plausible deniability that's thrown in there. Just in case you catch these guys saying something that is certainly off the wall and easy to disprove.
And Bill, for our listeners, you know, wondering about 1 Corinthians 7, when Paul is talking about divorce and remarriage,
right.
There's a small section where Paul says, "This is my thought." But he comes out and says that.
Exactly.
So
he does say that. He makes it very clear. This is me. This isn't the Lord. And then later on, he goes, okay, now this is the Lord, not me. He makes that very clear to his readers that, okay, this is my position on this, my personal position. But statements like this of the past make it appear that when he speaks, when the living prophet speaks in an official capacity, we would think that would be General Conference, or it would be any of the talks that he gives behind a pulpit, or it should be in his books. Let me give you an example here. Deseret Book bought Bookcraft, which is another publisher that used to print a lot of books by Mormon leaders and such. In 1998, Bookcraft published The Teachings of Ezra Taft Benson. The next year, Deseret would buy Bookcraft, so we would assume that if that was a standard disclaimer, there would be a disclaimer like that for this book. But this is what Bookcraft actually says. They don't have a disclaimer when it comes to the teachings of Ezra Taft Benson, who was the 13th president of the church. This is what it says. The excerpts that make up this teachings volume have come from his speeches or public writings after he was called to the apostleship and sustained as a prophet, seer, and revelator. President Benson personally reviewed the entire manuscript, as did his counselors in the first presidency. Let me ask you, Russ, what sounds like something you would more want to put your trust in? Something that Ezra Taft Benson said in this book, or something that Thomas Monson said in that book, A Prophet's Voice?
Right. If I was LDS, I would go with the Ezra Taft Benson book.
Exactly. And that's all we're asking, folks. Why do they have to have disclaimers for the prophet, seer, and revelator of the Mormon Church?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Have you considered visiting the Holy Land? Well, in February 2015, Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson are hosting a trip to Israel with the option to visit the Seven Churches of Revelation in Turkey. During our 11-day trip to Israel, former Utah pastor Joel Kramer will take us on a day to see important biblical sites where very few people go. We'll also have a chance to swim in the Dead Sea, get baptized in the Jordan River, and hike through Hezekiah's Tunnel. To find out more, visit MRM.org and click on the Israel icon on the top right-hand corner of the page. Again, that's MRM.org.